Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome into another edition of Sports Daily. It is a Thursday. Thursdays are always fun because we begin to get you ready for the NFL weekend. We'll have our betting insider, PJ Glasser, on. He'll talk all his favorite college bets, his pro bets. We'll look ahead to some Thursday night football bets tonight as well. Coming up next hour, our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, hops on. There's a lot to cover with Fitz. The disappointment for K-State football, Coach Klieman in a situation that's being talked about a lot on social media that he's dressed a little bit. How is he doing? I will see if Fitz has any insight on that. The basketball team, and a little dicier probably in the last two games than we'd like to see. We'll get to Fitz with all of that stuff for you a little later. Jad Chambers is producing. He's got the IHOP hotline for you. Introducing a new Indiana Jones and the Great Circle themed limited time offer menu, fully loaded French toast. How about the secret cookie butter? French toast, creamy cookie butter, vanilla sauce is topped with a dusting of cookie crumbles. That number, 869-1240, to get in touch with us. Of course, you can get in touch with us lots of ways on the program here. You can message us through the video platforms that you have available on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, and on 12 News Connected. Always appreciate that partnership with 12 News. And you can leave us your voice messages if you're listening through the Odyssey app, which is a great way to listen now, in the future, in the past, whatever. Just look for us on KFH. You can leave us voicemails. Alongside Tommy Kester, I'm Jacob Albrecht. It is a Thursday. Tommy, how are you?
Man, I'm good. I realized this morning we're getting really close to that really fun time around Thanksgiving where you've got Thanksgiving football, you've got the holiday tournaments for college basketball, getting closer to like the championship conference games in college football, bowl season right around the corner, of course, the playoff. There's a lot going on. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it is the Thanksgiving holiday. If we get good weather, boy, it's going to be a sports frenzy. It's crazy work frenzy. We will not have programming. No, we will not have a show on Thanksgiving Day. We will not have a show on Black Friday. These are the craziest weeks for the family business, Tommy. So we've got that mixed into that as well. But you know, Thursday football is just Thanksgiving Day football. So it's just the best. It's just the best. I wish. And they don't, and it's probably because the NFL switched to doing three games. Like Texas and Texas A&M are in the same conference now. That was always, I feel like that was always a Thanksgiving Day game. Wish we could get back to that a little bit, but with three NFL games, maybe not. But it's a great football weekend coming up. Great football next week as well. We're going to get to all of it as we make our way through. We'll give away a little HTO for you as well. That'll come later in the program, your opportunity to win some HTO. So stay tuned for your opportunity there. Tommy, let's start with this before we get into football. We'll start with, and this is not news for us on this program. A few weeks ago, we were talking to Wichita State's athletic director, Kevin Saul, about a difficult decision they had to make with the cheerleading squad and where they sit during basketball games. He brought up some of the numbers that he very publicly put out through a letter, basically a public letter, talking about the changes financially that are coming for college athletics. We've all known that's happening. We all know these court cases are there. But as we learned in that interview, I guess it would be 3-4 weeks ago now, there are big numbers, even for a school like Wichita State, who does not have football, who does not have a massive conference media rights agreement, you know, a good one, but not one of the Power Four now agreements. they've still got to come up with another $7 million a year. $7 million a year, Tommy. That's a lot of money. And it's a lot of money as you're trying to rebuild the men's basketball program, which is the main revenue driver, and get back to the point where you can fill that arena up and drive most of that revenue. It's coming at a time where women's basketball continues to struggle. So we look at that, and that's the challenge facing Wichita State. Again, we've known that here on this show for a while. I do think it's really interesting, and I appreciate the transparency of it. But if you project that out to the, you know, to the major power conference football playing schools, I think that gives you some idea of the transition that's happening behind the scenes in college athletics. We're going to revenue share. We're going to do all of these things. They've got to back pay athletes now for NIL opportunities not foreseen. And I think the biggest challenge on this for schools is going to be, you've been trying to raise NIL money, right, for the last few years. Now you've got to raise money that goes to the school. So you've almost got two pots to fill now, right? Like before, you could sort of shift maybe some of it to NIL. Now you got two pots to fill. You got to fill the NIL pot and you got to fill the revenue sharing pot. That's going to be a challenge for these schools. And I think this is where a lot of people who have been very opposed to everything have said this is a real danger to the non-revenue generating sports. And it is a real danger to the non-revenue generating sports. There's no question about that.
And it's a real danger to the schools that don't have football programs that are major conference football programs, because those football universities and the major conferences, they're going to have to pay more. Absolutely, they will. But they're also generating significantly more revenue. And so that kind of offsets, I think. And I don't know that.
I think
I don't
it
know
cuts
the,
both ways.
I don't know the figures behind it. It's probably six in one hand, half a dozen in the other.
You better be good. I'll say that.
Absolutely.
Like imagine being a non-competitive power conference football team, where you're not selling out a stadium every week. That's going to be tough.
Well, and on top of that, we've seen a trend happen, and it's not just been Kansas. I know they're the most recent one to do it, but I know Northwestern did it. There are other schools that are building new stadiums, but they're building smaller new stadiums, and they would rather have fewer seats at a higher price point, more premium options and things like that, than having, you know, like Texas A&M's Kyle Field with, what do they have, 100,000 seats in College Station? You know, like that's kind of become the trend on that. Recently, at least with some of these, you know, other programs like Kansas. So it's interesting, you know, getting that note from Kevin Saul yesterday, and I know that it, you know, made the rounds all over the city, all across the fan base, Shocker Nation, all of that. I think it paints a pretty clear picture as to what the needs are. And, you know, look, I don't think that any major college institution, whether you're Wichita State or Alabama, is looking for sympathy, and they're not going to get a whole lot of it. That's not really the way.
They might be looking for it, but they're not going to find it.
They're not going to get a whole lot of it because, you know, generally speaking, for decades and decades and decades, these institutions have been able to make money hand over fist, especially the ones that have major college football programs and not have the need to compensate players. And all of that is, you know, coming to bear now in today's landscape and this ever-changing world. Now you've got to adjust. Now you've got to shift. You've got to figure out, okay, how do we not only try to generate the revenue for our student athletes so we can get the best ones to our school to be competitive, but then how do we also make sure that we're raising money for our university so we don't go broke at the same time? That's a really difficult tug of war between those two sides. And I think it probably, you know, if you're talking to probably longtime college administrators, college athletics administrators, this is exactly why they've been opposed to compensating players for years and years and years, because of the challenge that it creates in figuring out, you know, how do we make money too? So it's not an easy solution. It's going to take a lot of work on you know, both sides, I think. And I think that the fan bases, the donor base, all of that, they need to understand in general, look, it's a new landscape. And the bottom line is, if we want to stay competitive, we've got to figure out a way to make all this work.
Yeah, it's I don't know what this means. It's very complex, obviously, anytime you're dealing with this much money. It's not all there was always going to be consequence to this, right? I understand that. I've been one of the biggest advocates for the changes basically that are happening and the court rulings that are, because it's, you know, whether we like it or we don't like it, what was happening, I don't believe was, I mean, it's borderline illegal, right? Like it's not the right thing to do to not compensate the people and the players that have most to do with the money generated. Coaches were obviously being fairly compensated, so then the players should be fairly compensated. I think there will be some comeuppance. I do think it's like it cuts so many different directions too. Like, where can you find the money? Well, the easiest thing to do is generate, not the easiest, but the simplest, I should say, thing to do mathematically is to just raise more money, right? To generate more money. It's hard to do that when you're not competitive. It's hard to do that when you are not winning, right? So how do you get to that point? Because it costs a lot of money to be successful. You have to pay the coach. You have to pay the players. You have to find the right ones. And you have to fill an arena, right? So you have to do all of those things too. And this is the danger for the non-revenue generating sports. Now, the non-revenue generating sports may not cost you a lot of revenue either. And, you know, maybe there are realignments with other sports that don't require as much travel, for instance. You know, the cheerleading situation was an interesting microcosm of this, honestly.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a revenue generating sport, but it cost a lot of money to run the program. So a difficult decision has to be made, and people are upset by that. There are going to be a lot of difficult decisions that have to be made. It's going to be turbulent for a few years. And where it all lands, I'm not sure. For the other non, you know, major revenue generating sports, I'm not sure. Donors will help, certainly. They have at Wichita State, Gene Stevenson's big gift, and he was rewarded with part of the naming of, you know, X Stadium and that whole complex and facility.
Which well deserved, by the way. I'm happy that
sure.
all went down yesterday.
That's the kind of stuff that's going to have to happen. That's the kind of stuff that's happened forever in college athletics, though. Like it has at every level, too, by the way, not just at the big schools. It's happening all over the place because people want to see these things be successful. And if you look, you're probably not listening to this show if you fall in this camp, there's a large portion of the population that's like, well, why do we even care so much about sports? Well, where do you think the school generates its money?
Right.
I use this example all the time. I want you to go look at the enrollment at the University of Alabama before Nick Saban got there. And I want you to go look at what happened with enrollment in the years that he was there. If you want to know why, there's your why. Right? Kids want to go to Alabama because they have a good football team.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I can tell you I was here when Wichita State went to the Final Four. Business was good in this city. And it wasn't solely based on that, but man, that was certainly a part of it. It was a contributing factor, 100%. And so that's why sports are important.
And look, for Wichita State, a lot of difficult decisions. I think it's important also to point out one thing that you can't find yourself in the business of is paying coaches not to coach.
Right.
That's a massive strain on that overall pool of money. So, you know, that will help at some point down. I don't remember when everything expires on all of that, but that will help a great deal. But you've still got to be able to get players in, find the right ones. It's what's been so disappointing about women's basketball off to a slow start. Look at what KU did in the last 2 days. KU, if you haven't paid attention, here's what. K-State just had their best recruiting class for women's basketball ever, and they're a top 10 team this year. KU, in the last 2 days, has brought in 2 5-star players in women's basketball. Why do you think that is? Because probably their NIL investment in that sport is growing. Why do you think that is? We were watching a game last night, and it was KU's game last night against Iowa. They were playing a neutral court game, a tournament, you know, a tournament, holiday tournament type game in South Dakota. And I'm looking at that, and that arena is packed. And then I remember the Champions Classic for KU versus Michigan State. Crickets. Yeah. You want to know why there's more investment in women's basketball? That's why.
Yeah.
They're filling up arenas now. And so there are more opportunities now, too, than there ever have been.
My final point on all of this, relating it back to Wichita State, you talked about how the cheerleading situation has kind of been a microcosm of this new landscape. Buckle up, everybody, because that's not going to be the last situation. You've got to get creative. You've got to figure out ways to cut costs, to generate revenue, to provide all of these different elements that can help you get to that shortfall. That's the responsibility of Kevin Saul and the athletics department. Get ready. Buckle up, everybody, because the things that we thought, you know, or maybe even never was on our radar that were going to happen or could be, even be on the landscape, they might. They very well might. And I think it's a good thing. Adapt or die. Evolve or die.
Well, it's whether it's a good thing, it's a necessary thing. There are going to be a lot of things that happen that piss us off. Yeah,
but evolve or die.
I mean, they just will. But you have to adapt. I mean, there's no choice. Irrelevancy is the most dangerous thing. So, it's going to be tough, but that it does give a nice picture. And again, it was interesting to hear that a few weeks ago, and now to see it, and then to think about what it might mean for power conference schools that have those massive TV deals. It's a lot of money that's going to have to get generated. Some of it might be simple. You might pay an extra $5 on your football ticket. That's an easy one, right? Nobody's going to care about that. And some of them are going to be more difficult and intrude in places that really hurt people's feelings for good reason. But we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. You can find that. It's all over the place. Go Shockers has it. 12 News, everybody has it. All right, we'll come back. We're going to get a quick segment, and then we'll have PJ Glasser, bottom of the hour, talking football betting. Including a big, I think, bettable game tonight. We'll get into all of it as we roll forward. Thanks, Prairie Fire Coffee, for keeping us fueled up with a great cup of coffee each and every morning here at KFH Sports Daily. Coming right back.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. It is a Thursday. Albrecht and Cast are with you. Glad to be with you. Maybe we're with you, from the past, because we can get to you through the Odyssey app, where you can listen to this show and all our great programming, including tonight, Browns hosting the Steelers. The Odyssey app has it. If you can't listen to it on the radio on KFH, no problem. Just search KFH on the Odyssey app, and you will find Westwood One's coverage of Thursday Night Football. That begins at 6:30 tonight. Tommy, we'll get to that game with PJ Glasser. I'm very interested in tonight's game. I think there are some winnable pieces of that game. Real quick, to Major League Baseball, we haven't given a lot of attention to the awards, even though the Royals have been up for a lot of them. They didn't get, Cy Young. We didn't think Tarik Skubal. Tarik Skubal was unanimous. Matt Cotraro was probably, of these big ones, the best shot. He didn't get it. But what I do think yesterday, as we learn about Skubal, is two Royals for the first time, basically, Tommy, in our lifetimes, two Royals pitchers were top four in the American League Cy Young voting. Seth Lugo was second. Cole Reagans was fourth. Man, that is wild stuff. Wild stuff to think about.
It's a big deal. I mean, you think back to all of the years that, even that the Royals were contenders. Hasn't been very many of them, but there have been several. Even those years, I mean, I can think of like one top starter on those rotations and, maybe a couple of other ones that were decent or okay or whatever.
They were deep, right? But they weren't
right.
Elite.
Like, I go back to the 80s. Like, of course, you think about Brett Saberhagen. And then it was everybody else, right? Even like in 2014, 2015, they had, I know they brought in like Johnny Cueto that one year to win the World Series.
Giordano Ventura.
Ventura was there.
And of course, they had Zach Greinke.
Right, they had Greinke for a while. But Greinke was the main guy. He was the only guy.
And he won one, but he was the only guy. Now, you look at this and you see those two guys on there. And like, you think about that and they're coming back. Now we know Waka's coming back. Mm-hmm. We know Singer's coming back. Like, Royals fans ought to be really, 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 we've talked about it. They have such an attackable offseason to make themselves better because they just don't need to do that much. right? They've got to solve a couple of spots in the lineup.
They got to look offensively. They have to look offensively.
They can do it with veterans, though. They don't need some big bat in the middle. They've got three of those already. They need the little pieces of a lineup. They need a couple arms in the bullpen. I know they were good.
They get the framework of a bullpen, I think, ready to go. Ursig, if Harvey is healthy, you know, they've got, you know, yeah.
Man, it's all right there.
They've got some guys there that could do some stuff.
It is all right there. Let me just look here and see if they're already at. I was joking with a lot of people yesterday. Like, I'm so glad as these awards get that all my baseball future bets clear out of the betting tickets on the sites. Because they just sit there forever. So right now, the Royals, Tommy, to win the World Series next year, 30-1. You can get them at 30-1 right now. It's not going to get better than that.
I might throw a little scratch on that. That's not a bad futures play.
$10. You know, $10. Win $300. That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Are you going to mention that, you know, my Braves had another Cy Young Award winner in Chris Sale? In the National League?
I wasn't
League?
Going to.
I mean,
no,
that's
no,
a that's I, a pretty big
I
deal.
Wasn't going to. Great, good. That's a great story.
That's the first
really,
Cy Young Award I think that the Braves have won since the 90s, I believe. Glavin, Maddox,
Smoltz. You looking for Braves pitching sympathy? Because you're not going to find it here. it's not going to come from me. I've been a fan of the most pitching-starved team in the planet for its existence. And we follow maybe the second most starved pitching team in existence. Braves fans can't roll in here looking for pitching. Like, it's been so long since we've won a Cy Young, except you've won like all of them for, you know, 20 years. But that was a good story. The Chris Sale story is a very good story. I'm glad for him. I like Chris Sale. All right. Just wanted to get that out there. If you didn't catch it, no, they didn't win the Cy Young. Two in the top four, though. And those guys come back. Right. And those guys have just stretched themselves to new frontiers in innings pitched.
I like that 30-1 future. I didn't realize that they were 30-1 to win the World Series next year.
30-1. I see PJ listening to us in the waiting room here. 30-1, PJ, on the Royals. And they got everybody coming back right now. You can get it right now. It's not getting any better than that. We'll talk to PJ. We might talk about that for just a second. But we'll get into a lot of football this weekend, including Thursday night football. PJ Glasser, our betting insider, joins us right after this. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming your way.
.97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. On the line right now, the host of Send It In, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you find your podcast. As we come back into Sports Daily, Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. PJ, how are you?
Doing good, guys. I'm doing good. Great to be with you. Great weekend of football. I can't believe it's almost over. We got 2 weeks left of college. We got week 12 in the NFL. It's crazy how fast it's going by.
Yeah, it's a good day. You know, we still got almost 3 months of NFL football, at least, and maybe with the college playoff now. PJ, let's start with Thursday night football. There's two things in this that I think I love tonight. Maybe that's too strong. I love the Steelers -3.5, but the one that I might love the most, and I'm trying to figure this one out and see where the trap is Jameis Winston's player prop right now. His over on his yards is set at 215. He has destroyed that prop in his three starts. And I'm looking to say, oh, maybe it's the Pittsburgh defense. Their average against the pass, at least yardage-wise this year, as a defense against the pass, that one's what am I missing with that prop?
Well, I think the weather. They're expecting some weather tonight in Cleveland. Okay. Some high winds, some precipitation, right? Anytime you're talking late November, December in Northeast Ohio, you got to definitely check the weather forecast. So that's why this total, guys, opened at 41. It was as low as 36.5. Now it's starting to go up just a tick to 37. So that's why I'm not really doing much with the quarterbacks tonight. If anything, I actually like Jameis under pass attempts at 34.5, just because I think both coaches, you know, are going to want to run the football because of these high wins and because of how Jameis tends to play with him loving to chuck the ball down the field. That's not going to be a good game plan in a game like this with the weather and with the Steelers pass rush and with their defense. So I like Jaylen Warren tonight over 12 and a half receiving yards. That would be the prop that I would look at, the Steelers running back. Russ in that game against the Ravens looked a little bit timid to me. You know, that was really the first game where he looked a little gun shy. He was kind of second guessing himself. I think the Ravens put certain things on film that the Browns will try to duplicate tonight. And again, because of the weather, I don't think Russ is going to take as many chances. I think he looks for his check down. So I like Jaylen Warren tonight. Then I'm going to be on the other side. I like the Browns plus 3.5. Tomlin's a pretty easy coach to bet on. When he's a home underdog, when he's an underdog in general, you bet him against the spread. When he's a road favorite, he's actually one of the worst coaches in the NFL, guys, against the spread as a road favorite. You got Pittsburgh coming off that emotional win against Baltimore. They're first place in the division. Now it's a short week. They go on the road against Cleveland, who coming off a blowout loss. This is a tricky game. So I actually like Cleveland plus the points, and then I like that Jaylen Warren prop.
Yeah, you mentioned Jaylen Warren. Is there anything with any of the other running backs with the way that the wind is going to be a factor in tonight's game? I mean, whether it's Nick Chubb or, you know, anybody else, you know, Najee Harris, is there a play with any of those guys?
So if it becomes available, I actually would look at Justin Fields tonight, right? Because he's the backup now with Russ. But in that Ravens game, you started to see some running packages with Fields. And I think the Steelers lean on that a little bit more this week because, one, it's a short week, right? And you're playing back-to-back AFC North games. You have another one on deck with Cincinnati. All these games are physical, fellas, right? We know this. So I think Tomlin is going to save some hits for his backs, for Russ. He brings Fields in, who's a very good runner to begin with. So I haven't seen anything pop up on BetMGM about Justin Fields, but if you can shop around and find some Justin Fields props, maybe look at his anytime touchdown price tonight. I think those are some good plays.
That's a really interesting one. All right, let's stay in the NFL, PJ, and then we'll go to college just since we already are here in the NFL. The Chiefs play a noon game, so we can go there now. This is an absolute get-right game for the Chiefs. The line is huge. It's 11 points on the road, which I don't know about that. But, man, a bad, bad run defense, a Chiefs team who can't block anybody, at least, again, you know, can't pass block anybody. They get Isaiah Pacheco back. They'll have he and Kareem Hunt. This feels like a game where the Chiefs are going to run all over them. What do you think about the Chiefs this weekend?
You know, guys, it's an interesting game. If there's one thing I know about the NFL when seeing a matchup like this, it wouldn't shock me if Carolina found a way to hang around. You know, just like the way the NFL is, they're coming off a bye. You got arguably the best organization in the NFL right now against the worst. You got the best quarterback against arguably the worst. And the Panthers will just find a way to keep this game close. If there's one thing we know about the Chiefs when we have these big numbers, it's that they win these games, but they don't cover spreads. Keep in mind, too, for Kansas City, right, their last three games and kind of the battles that they've been in. That Monday night game against Tampa, which I think took quite a bit out of them, trying to mount that comeback, win it in overtime. Then you have the game against Denver, another game they had to come back. They blocked the field goal at the end. And then obviously the game of the year so far against the Bills, right? A game that you get up for. We see this in college all the time where you have these marquee mega matchups. And then the next week, these teams go on the road and they kind of play in these sleepy spots and the energy level's just not there. It's a letdown game. So I think Kansas City wins, but I actually think they could be a little sleepy in this game, especially to start. So if you don't want to take the full game, maybe you just want to take Carolina like +6.5, +7 in the first half. I think that would be the way to go in this game.
It does look like, PJ, that, you know, at least the rumor is that Isaiah Pacheco should be returning next week, I think is what he's targeting for Kansas City. We've seen Kareem Hunt come in off the street in the last several weeks and perform fairly well. I would imagine that, especially knowing some of the offensive line issues that we've seen from Kansas City, you know, this season, especially at left tackle, that especially once they have Isaiah Pacheco back, between Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, this is more than likely going to continue to be a run-first team. Do you anticipate, whether it's this week or in future weeks, that we see Kansas City continue to lean on the running game? And so in that regard, is there a good angle for that?
Yeah, I definitely think so, especially because it plays into the hands of their defense, right? You run the ball, you keep the other team on the sideline, you keep your defense fresh, and we know that's the strength of the Kansas City team this season. So right now, Tommy, on BetMGM, it doesn't look like there are any props up for any of the Kansas City running backs. So I think they're still trying to figure out some numbers for that situation. But as you mentioned, Hunt's been great. I would assume his anytime touchdown price is probably going to be a minus. You're probably going to have to lay some juice for that. So maybe look at another way to attack it. But yeah, rushing attempts for Kareem Hunt in this game, I think, could be a good way to go, just because you figure Kansas City to be in the lead most of the game. This is just one of those games where I don't really think they care how much they win by. They just want to win and get out of there unscathed and get ready for the next one. So, yeah, maybe rushing attempts for Kareem Hunt. And as long as the anytime touchdown price isn't too crazy, I think that's a good bet too.
What else are we looking at in the NFL this weekend, PJ, that's got you really excited?
Yeah, probably, guys, my favorite bet on the board right now is going to be San Francisco plus the 2 against the Packers. I'm really excited for this game. George Kittle coming back for the Niners is a huge deal. He's going to help their run game tremendously. Brock Purdy did suffer a shoulder injury, so a little bit of a concern about that. But, guys, San Francisco's schedule is brutal down the stretch. They're at Green Bay this week. They're at Buffalo next week. They still have a game at Detroit. They still have two more divisional games against the Rams and the Cardinals. So San Francisco wants to make the playoffs. They got to start winning some of these games where they're going to be underdogs. And, you know, when you get teams like this, perennial playoff teams, teams that had Super Bowl aspirations coming into the beginning of the year, when you kind of get them in these must-win spots, I like backing them when they got desperation and when they're going into a game like this, knowing that they have to win. So, if there's one thing I've known about San Francisco over the last 5-6 years, guys, the two teams that they've always played well are Dallas and Green Bay. It feels like they've had those two teams' numbers over the years. So I like San Francisco plus the 2. I also like the under on Monday night between the Ravens and the Chargers. Guys, the look ahead in this game was 47 on the total. It's all the way up to 51 now. I know the Chargers really haven't played that many great offenses this season, and everybody just saw Burrow and the Bengals kind of light them up in that second half and score 27. But the familiarity in this game with the Chargers offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, being with John Harbaugh and the Ravens, and he was Lamar's OC for the first 4 years of his career, all that familiarity there, certainly the Harbaugh brothers going at it. I just think it's too many points. The Ravens made a change in their secondary last week against Pittsburgh, taking out Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson, who've been terrible for them at safety. They brought in Ardarius Washington to play along with Kyle Hamilton, and it's the best that they've looked all year. So I think that change might help them. Chargers are a team that wants to run the football. Again, Greg Roman knowing that offense, knowing Lamar in that run game. I'm going with it under this week. I like under 51 Ravens-Chargers.
Sunday night.
I agree with that big time.
Yeah, Sunday night, the Eagles on the road. They're 2.5-point road favorites in L.A. to take on the Rams. The NFC West is, you know, still kind of open. The Rams are not out of the question at all to try to make a run. But, of course, the Eagles have played better as of late. Is there a line you like on this or an angle that you like on this game?
You know, guys, it's interesting. A lot of people have been talking about the Eagles' defense here recently, right? How great it's been, how great those two rookie corners, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, have been. But this is really their first test coming out of that bye week. They did play at Cincinnati. That was a great game for them. Higgins didn't play in that one. But they've played Cleveland, the Giants, Jacksonville, Dallas, and then they played Washington on a short week. And Jaden Daniels still doesn't look 100% to me. So now they're going on the road. They're traveling across the country. They're playing the Rams with Stafford, Kyron Williams, Puka, and Cooper Kupp. I think this is where we kind of find out how good that that Eagles defense is. So I think a lot of people are going to like the under because of how good the Eagles D has been. But I think they might be a little overvalued in the market. Really the first real offense that they've played since maybe week 4 outside of the Bengals. So I like the under on Monday night, but I actually like the over, guys, on Sunday night, over 49. I think we see some points in this game.
I like both of those. All right, let's switch over. We'll start with our two teams here, and then we can get into some other college football if we've got time, PJ. KU hosts Colorado, one of the marquee games of the week. KU, a 3-point dog at home. K-State hosts Cincinnati, an 8.5-point favorite at home. Two programs headed seemingly in opposite directions right now. One's, you know, surging, one's reeling a little bit. Do you like either of these two bets?
Guys, I like Kansas. I like Kansas plus three. I actually think, as crazy as it is, these are the best two teams in the Big 12. We've been talking about the Jayhawks all year. You know, don't look at the record. They have had so many one-score games that haven't been able to go their way, but there's a reason why every week it feels like the line is so fishy in their games, right? 1.5 against Iowa State, 2.5 against BYU, now only 3 against Colorado. I think Kansas continues to roll. You know, they're just playing spoiler right now in the Big 12. Feels like they're playing all the top teams in the league week after week after week. So I like the Jayhawks here plus 3. Defense has been pretty solid for them all year. The offense is starting to pick it up a little bit. Colorado's rolling, and they're playing great, and the public's going to be all over them. I do like the Jayhawks, though, plus 3 in that game. So I like them to cover. K-State and Cincinnati, it's a tough one. You know, I really like K-State last week against Arizona State. That was pretty shocking what Arizona State did to them. It's tough. I really don't have any thoughts on that game. You know, yeah. It feels like Kansas State, whenever they kind of play a bad game, they tend to bounce back. So I would lean towards their side. I honestly think Cincinnati team total under might be the way to go. Bearcats offense has been up and down this year, hasn't been very good on the road. And again, you're getting K-State off a bad performance, good coaching staff with Klieman leading the way. So I don't think Cincinnati's going to score much in that game. I would like their team total under.
We've got a top five matchup on Saturday, PJ, with Indiana on the road taking on the number 2 ranked Buckeyes, 2-5. Indiana, it has been so much fun to watch this year, but of course, Ohio State is steady. Like, they're just that steady team, number 2 in the country. That's definitely the big marquee matchup this weekend. Anything in that game you like?
Yeah, I like Ohio State, guys. I'd lay the 13.5. I really don't think this game's going to be close. Indiana's a nice story. They're having a great year. They have a good head coach, but this is a different animal they're facing. And Ohio State, you know, they obviously got a ton to play for. You know, winner of this game, likely going to the Big Ten title game to face Oregon. So Ohio State, their defense, it's going to be really tough for Indiana to move the ball. There was an angle I was thinking of with Indiana in the first quarter at plus 3.5, just because Cignetti's been so great off of a bye week, and Ohio State has really struggled in the first quarter of this season. So if you wanted to get any part of Indiana, I think plus 3.5 in the first quarter could be a look. But I like Ohio State to roll, guys. I think they're going to take care of business, win this game by 3 touchdowns.
We've asked you about specifics, PJ. What are your favorite college bets?
Yeah, I like Ole Miss, guys, minus 10 this week against Florida. You know, Florida, a lot of people are kind of starting to like the Gators. They've been a pesky underdog here these last 4 or 5 weeks. I just think that game against LSU, we talked about that game last week, terrible matchup for LSU. They can't stop a running quarterback. That's what DJ Lagway and the Gators did. Ole Miss coming off a bye, one of the best defensive fronts in college football. I think Florida's going to have a really tough time moving the ball. So I like Ole Miss. I'd lay the 10. And then give me Oklahoma, guys, plus 13.5 against Bama. I'd take some money line as well. I think Bama's on upset alert this week in Norman. That's a tough place to play at night. They're coming off a bye week. Their quarterback, Jackson Arnold's playing a little bit better. And everybody just assumes that Bama's going to win out and they're going to make the college football playoff. And if there's one thing that this season has shown us, when we think we know something, another happens, right? And Bama has had... They've had the ability to like play teams close this year. They played down to the level of their competition. Maybe they're looking ahead a little bit to the Iron Bowl next week. So I like Oklahoma a lot. It's probably my favorite bet, plus the points. I'd take some money line as well. I think Bama's in for a tough one this week.
All right, PJ Glasser, we appreciate it. Good luck with the bets tonight. Man, I'm bummed about the weather. Now put all these teams in a dome. Can we can we look out for the fantasy football players and the bettors out there and just put everybody in a dome, please?
Especially when Jameis is playing quarterback, right? Like, no. That's the guy you want to see.
Yeah, let it rip.
Let it rip. Exactly. I agree with you.
Hey, he might do it anyway. It is Jameis.
That's true. That's true.
Maybe interceptions for Pittsburgh is the way to go. PJ, we appreciate it. Host of Send It In, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser, Insider Calls, presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. PJ, thanks. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you.
Tommy, when you see, like, are you get excited with bad weather like some football fans, like a bad weather game? Because I hate it.
If it's not a major game of consequence, then yeah, like I'm okay with it. You know, if it's like between the 1-9 team and the 2-8 team. Okay, like, yeah, that's fine. Let's have just like chaos and have the wind blow 50 miles an hour and have it be pouring buckets of rain and sleeting and, you know, all of that. Like, I'm on board with that. Or like a bowl game that doesn't really matter between 2 6-6 teams. Yeah, let's have all hell break loose and have it be, you know, in a cold weather climate and have it be tough in that regard. On a Thursday night primetime game when it's the only, the main game in town, the primetime game, yeah, I'm not as big of a fan.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, if I didn't have any skin in it, it makes it interesting. But there's just so much skin to have now, whether you play fantasy football, whether you bet, like, whatever it is. It's probably about 50-50, I would bet. If we took a poll, I'll bet you it'd be about 50-50. Anyway, I at least put retractable roofs on there just in case. It's the wind. It's the wind. That's what quarterbacks will tell you. It's not the snow or rain or anything. It's the wind that bothers them the most, and that's why that number. I'm glad PJ enlightened me. I had not looked at the weather forecast yet. All right, if you missed any of PJ there, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. That's always available for you in podcast form. Jad puts that there. We've got a big hour number two coming up. We will start things off with our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald. He will join the program. Well, we got to talk about K-State. You know, PJ mentioned there, typically, historically, K-State has been good after a bad performance, and they weren't good after a loss in Houston and a bye week against Arizona State. Can they get it turned around quickly? What sort of paths exist for them still? Any hope, you know, kind of that chip in a chair mentality for K-State football and K-State basketball? We've all collectively been very optimistic about their prospects this year. Do we need to temper that? We need to at least start the conversation. We'll talk to Fitz about both of those things. K-State fans, get ready. That's coming up in the next segment. Glad to be with you here. On the way out, let's get our HTO giveaway going here. Free iced tea, sweet or unsweet, including the new peach cobbler, or a free ice store hot coffee, including the new peppermint mocha, which is limited time and people are going nuts for it, so get it before it goes away. You can get a free one of each of those right now at any of the Wichita Metro locations, East Wichita, West Wichita, or Derby. All you got to do is text keyword tea to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. And when you're there, don't forget, pre-order those Thanksgiving gallons. You get a discount, and you can pick up your gallons just before the holiday and get them ready for the Thanksgiving feast. We'll come back. Tim Fitzgerald joins Sports Daily next.